It's my privilege and honor to welcome up here to preach this morning a good friend of mine, a mentor, a man of the community, Pastor Charlie Ricardo. Let's give him a big hand, guys.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right.
Thank you very much. Great to be here this morning. Quite an honor and a privilege. Thank you to Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrew, our senior ministers who are away on holiday. They're having a break. They're having a sabbatical. They're down south somewhere, soaking in the pools of refreshing and so on and so on and so on. This morning, I have an announcement to make. And who remembers Paul and Josie Wally? We all remember Paul and Josie Wally. Paul Wally passed away. Okay, he passed away on Friday morning. And so I know it's with great sadness. I spoke with Josie and the family, and he's no more pain, no more suffering, and he's gone to be with the Lord. Pastor Andrea spent some time with him during the week, and he said, I'm ready to go. And so it was just a matter of time. And so, yeah. So I'd like to thank Graham. Where's Graham? Graham and Steve Coppen for just, you know, going, visiting him over the years and loving on him, praying for him. And there's probably others as well that have done that. So thank you to everybody that has done that. There'll be more details that will come out about his funeral. We will have that next Sunday, okay? So I believe it's going to be the following week. Life is great. Life is good. Life is beautiful. You know, it is just magnificent. And I think it's amazing that Pastor Nigel and Andrea have developed here a great culture of worship and the awesome presence of God. And so this morning I'm going to be sharing on Psalm number 84 and our theme over this next month is about flourishing in God. And this psalm is just fantastic. We sung it this morning. And so just want to encourage us with this, and it's going to be good. I visited my son Jordan in Sydney a few weeks ago. I went to the Brisbane conference, and then I, at the end of that, because I was over there, I decided to tag on some leave, and I went over to visit him and say hello and spend some time with him, which was really good. And he got to take me to some of his really good cafes, and I stumbled across this great bakery called the Stone Ground Bakery, and I went in to get some paninis, which are some rolls, and I had these almond croissants that were just, I saw them in the window and I said, I'm having this. This is on. So every day I had an almond croissant. How good is that? This, let me tell you, this bit of extra weight here, that is not junk food, guys. No, seriously, it is healthy. It is healthy food, but just too much of it. It's just lots of it. You can eat healthy, but if you eat too much of it, I brought back four croissants or five croissants on the plane, hit them in the bottom of the bag because you don't trust these air hostesses. They see you walk on with a bakery box and, you know, sometimes it's Krispy Kreme or they're like, oh, sorry, can't take those on board. I've got to take them off you. And you know exactly what they're doing. So just watch their tricks. So anyway, gee, it's beautiful to see Gus and Linda here this morning. Hi, guys. Welcome. Great to have you here in the house. So, yeah. Now, I had to, when I got off the plane and went and got into Sydney, I got on the train and I'm heading into the city. And it was a little bit packed and I had my backpack and I had my suitcase. So I'm just in the doors, you know, just like that. What are you laughing for? Okay, and so anyway, the doors close. And the next thing I feel this, and my backpack start. And I'm like, oh my God. There's all these people in front of me, you know. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And I'm just stuck. I couldn't get out. And so and these two girls, lovely girls, and they said to me, do you know you're stuck? I go, I know I'm stuck. I am trying to get out. So anyway, they came to my rescue. They helped me, you know, and I was going to just pull my arms out. It was really difficult. So they yanked and pulled. And anyway, eventually I got free. And I said, oh, thank you. I said, thank you so much. I said, I'm going to share this story. This is so funny. This really is so funny. They said, yeah, this is funny. They said something else, but I won't go there. But you know, sometimes in our walk, you know, we can be stuck. You know, we're stuck and we just can't move. You know, we come to church, we go through the motions, and we walk out and we're the same. And it's like a mouse going around and around on that little Ferris wheel, and you're doing the same thing again, continually, 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 and you just, you know. So I believe this Psalm 84, if we apply this, and if you're in these shoes, well then this is going to help you get unstuck. This is going to help you, this is going to set you free, let me tell you. This is going to set you free like a bird that has been set free from a cage, just enjoying the beautifulness of the nature and the majesty of God. So Psalm 84, it is an amazing psalm. I did some research on this and I thought, wow, there was things there I didn't know. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about the psalmist's journey. They would travel to the temple. It'd take days to get to the temple. This is a big thing they would do a couple of times a year. They would travel along roads on their donkeys to get to the temple. And the temple is where the courts of God are, but there's also where there's the altar, where there was lots of sacrifices, where they would kill animals and so on and so on. And so that's where they would go. And it just kind of reminds me a little bit about us coming to church on a Sunday. You know, we've got to get here. We've got to set our hearts to arrive here. But it's when we arrive here, starting from home, arriving, the conditioning of our hearts, the conditioning of our attitudes. You know, making it a priority to come and to spend time in the presence of God. It's just paramount. So, Psalm 84. Let's all stand up. Can you put that up for me, please, AJ? Thank you very much. Let's read this together, the whole Psalm 84. Not the whole Psalm, please. How lovely is your dwelling place, Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on the pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. Make it a place of springs. Autumn rains over it. Strength to strength, till each appears before God. Prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Rather be in the courts, house of God, than the house of the court.
For the Lord God is Jesus, a sign and shield. The Lord is so
Praise God. Let's sit down. These people are heading to church and they are looking forward to church. They are going with an excitement. They are going with a condition in their heart that they are going to meet with God. And their soul, in Hebrew, the soul is about the most inner being of you, the earnestness of their hearts wanting to connect and be in the presence of God. This is these guys on a journey to meet their God. It's about intimacy, wanting to come to a place of intimacy with their Heavenly Father God. Now, intimacy requires us to be vulnerable, okay? Vulnerable. And being vulnerable sometimes can be difficult, even sometimes when we're sharing with friends. During the week, I got called to an incident where someone had passed away and this sporting body asked me to come and speak to these ladies. So I went and spoke with them and basically let them speak a lot. And one lady was she was quite vulnerable about her relationship, just opening up the hurt, the pain, the regret of their relationship being quite difficult at times and didn't really end on a great note. And so sometimes it's important that we are vulnerable to each other and that we are vulnerable to our living God. Now, when coming to church, is the other exciting thing about that is coming together with believers. You know, it's so good to come and connect with one another, to share stories, because we get encouraged by that, don't we? We get encouraged by faith stories. On Friday, we had our Friday lunch here, and generally share a scripture and a verse. And I had Hazel came on Friday, and she sang for us. Amazing! It was beautiful. I was really quite moved by it. And she, before she sang, she mentioned that this song was a song that they would sing. Every day, you know, they'd lost their son and they would sing this song and it was, you know, and there's something about when we come and we come into the presence of God, there's something about God coming and bringing comfort, bringing security, bringing his just loving upon us. And that vulnerableness, you know, coming with a heart of grief and hurt and letting God know, God sees that. And there's something about the presence of God coming into the house of God where there is healing, the healing for hurts, for, you know, pain, emotional things. And most of all, the touch of God upon our lives. I think it's amazing, the touch of God upon your life, touching you, just affirming to you, hey, it's going to be okay. I am your security. I am your shield. And God loves upon us when we come into his house. God adores us. So there's that place of that intimacy that God calls us to come into. Asia, just longing for God. Longing. developing an attitude of longing, of hunger for our living God. It's most, most important. And I think it's those things are going to help us get unstuck. Maybe if you're in that position, maybe you've asked Jesus to come into your heart 6 years ago, a month ago, but that's all you've done. You haven't moved from there. You haven't shifted. You just, it's just mediocre. Well, come on. Jesus says, follow me, you know, and that's one step at a time. Follow. It's not, the journey doesn't just start, but it's continually following. Following God. It's important to follow God. Let him take you to where he wants you to go. Now, these guys, when they were traveling to the temple, along the way to the temple, they would come across trees, springs of water. They'd go past and through the valley of Baca. Now, there are times in our lives that we go through valleys. We will go through difficult times. And God will provide a way for us, even outside of here, you know, during the week when you are having your devotion time, God provides those little springs of water for us to drink from, to refresh ourselves. But important during the week, obviously, to stay in the Word of God, to press into God's presence. Coming on a Sunday morning is just another, it's another level. It's a corporate blessing and presence of God here in his house. And so when they were at the temple, they would see these birds. You know, we sang that song and we see about the sparrows and the swallows, and they would actually nestle in the temple. They would nestle, make their home there. That's how it was. And the Jews, their culture was not to shift them out, was not like us. We'd probably throw stones at them or get the gun out and shoot them. Or I wouldn't do that, but some of you here would, I know that. And they would be nestled near the altar. If you read the Psalm, it says they were right over, they were there by the altar. And where the altar is, there's lots of yucky things going on. Animals are getting slaughtered and there's action going on, and it's not really the best place to really be, you know, making yourself home. But there was something about the house of God, there was something about the temple, about the presence of God, where regardless of what trouble was going on, regardless of what they were seeing, there was God was there being a comfort and a security and a peace for them. And it's a bit like us as well, that whatever trouble, whatever you're facing right now, maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're going through something that you've just never, ever expected. I know during the week we got thrown a real big curveball. You know, one of our family, who loves family? I mean, my immediate family, my wife and my kids, we're good, you know, we're great. But it's the others. You know, we had this massive, massive curveball, and it just hurt a lot of people and some of our family members. And so what do you do? It's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, you know. And so things happen. Life throws curveballs. And there's nothing better than when life is throwing curveballs that we are stationed and positioned to come to his house, to come to a place and rest and find him, because where he is, and when we go to where he is in that place of worship and praise, you just forget about everything. Life is so good. It is awesome. It's like going on holidays. You know, it is. You know, when you go on holidays, it's like, it's fantastic. And you just want to stay away forever. Who wants to come back from holidays? You don't want to come back from holidays. You just want to stay away forever. And Sundays, like I'm thinking, gee, that's like church. You come in here, you praise God, you worship God, and everything else just goes into oblivion. And God's cool with that. God's cool that you come in and that you spend time with him, let him pour his love out on you, because life is tough, life is difficult. And when you leave, when you go, we've got God on us, and there is just, it keeps us breathing for the next week. But of course, we do our devotions. Of course, we stand the word of God. That's how we do that. That's just normal, you know. But Sundays, traveling to the house of God. I love that, what you talked about, traveling. You came here this morning, and in their travels, when they would travel to the temple for days, they would be facing bandits. They'd be facing wild animals. You know, you hear the story of the Good Samaritan. They traveled on the same road. The guy that got bitten up and left on the side of the road. So these people would come to the house of God. They would be singing on the way there. They would be praying, Lord, protect us. A bit like Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. They'd be praying, Lord, bless me indeed. Lord, bless me big time. See, God wants to bless you big time. Not just a little bit, but he wants to bless you big time. And Jabez, he prayed that, Lord, bless me big time. He had a revelation from God. Not that only does he need to bless God. God, I'm going to bless you. Like, we come to church and we bless God. We do. We bless God. But that he had a revelation that God wants to bless him in a massive way, in an awesome way. And he goes on to pray about success and God and influence, and that God's hand would be upon him. And the hand of God upon him is about God's protection. And remembering that as God's, that everything comes from the hand of God, life. Now, your success today, those that are walking with Christ, your success has come because of the hand of God, the benefits of God upon your life. He goes on to pray, Lord, protect me, keep me from harm. Lord, protect me, keep me from harm. On the road to the temple, that's what he's, you know, because it's scary. There's trouble out there. But hey, they stayed focused, they stayed on the journey, and they went on. And the Lord answered all of what Jabez had prayed. And so these guys on this journey, they're praying, they're seeking God, they're singing. God kept them, protect them, and they landed at the temple of God. So longing for God, that intimacy, so important. The traveling, that journey with God, you know, not just coming to the house, but also in our own journey, the importance of being on journey with others. We're all quite interlocked here. Our church is a community, and we are better together. I remember years ago when I was living in Albany, and we had a family come to visit us, a husband and a wife. They hadn't had their children quite yet. They'd lost a son. And we went and we walked up Bluff Knoll. It's this massive, massive mountain. It's one of the highest points in Western Australia. And it's beautiful. It's just magnificent. And I remember beginning this walk. It wasn't an easy walk. We'd done this before. And you begin to climb and you get up to these different heights and you just, wow, you know. And so, and I remember this couple, they found it really, really tough heading up. And we just continued to encourage them on. And as you go up this mountain of Bluff Knoll, you're walking and you're amongst the trees, and then you get up, you know, about 15% of the way, and you look behind, you begin to see the tops of the trees, you go, wow, that's beautiful. Look at that, that is just amazing. And then you keep going again, then you get up 30% of the way and you keep looking, you go, oh my goodness, look at that. That is amazing. Then you get up 3/4 of the way and you go, wow, this is just awesome. And then you get up to the very top and you just see the splendor. It is just phenomenal. The farms, the valleys, the trees. On the other side is the ocean. And you can see that, and it was just magnificent. It was just beautiful. And they said to us, we're so glad that you encouraged us, that you pushed us to go all the way. Maybe this morning you're needing some encouragement. Well, don't let go of your faith in Christ. Keep pushing on. Don't be that person that stays here. Just, you know, if you die, you're going to go to heaven. But come on, come up that mountain. Just come up that little bit more. And then come up again. Just keep coming up. Keep moving forward. And as you move forward, you will begin to see the glory and the majesty of your living God. Don't give up. Keep pushing just one step at a time. But don't stay seated. Don't stand still. Keep moving. Keep moving forward. In Psalm 84, 10 to 12, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, I love my family. I get great satisfaction at spending time with my beautiful wife. My great kids, you know, they come and they jump on the bed. They still do that from time to time. Not that much, but they do. And we just have so much fun. It is so satisfying. It is beautiful. I love cycling. I love to cycle. I love through the city, along the river, you know, with some guys, and we sit down, and there's nothing like a good cup of coffee. You know, it's delicious. It is really nice. Last year, I went to the football grand final, the MCG, and it was just amazing. It was great. All the people. And all that is good. And it's okay to do all that. And keep doing that. That's fine. But the satisfaction of the presence of God in our lives, of having the presence of coming, you know, just coming in this morning and singing and coming into the presence of God, that was just, that was precious. That's better than any grand final. Seriously, it is. It's just the presence of God on your life and you wanting that, hungering for that. God says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. But you've got to take that step. You've got to take that step to want the presence of God. I know many churches that go to church on a Sunday and it's great. They preach, they sing. But that time of worship that we've developed here over years, it's not there. And this is just who we are. This is our flavor. You know, one thing that stands out for us here is we have a heart for the presence of God. Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea plowed for many years to develop and to give us that opportunity to come and have that time in the presence of God and to love Him and to worship Him. And so it's good to dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes. Nothing beats coming here on a Sunday. I know that there are obstacles. I know some people work. Now we have Wellard. If you're working in the morning, come down to Wellard. It's fantastic. One family, two locations. Come and look forward to the presence of God. God wants to fill you with His presence. Moses says, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to that place, Lord. I don't want to, if God told him, I don't want to do that, Lord, without your presence going with me. I know many times I get into some situations and I'm like, oh man, I'm not going there. Not without God, and I just pray. I come into His presence, say, Lord, I just need you, and I don't even know what I'm going to say. And I'm just engaging God all the time and pushing in, and just, Lord. And when I get in those situations, God just comes through for me, what to share, what to say, because God is on me. We are his spokespeople. You know, Paul, who has passed away, he's gone to be in the presence of God. He's there because somebody spoke to him. He's there because years ago, people reached out to him and loved him. You know, and God calls us to reach out, love your neighbors, love people around you. Just love on people. Just love on people. So, Psalm 84:12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's be a church, a people that long for intimacy with Jesus, willing to travel to make the journey to the house of God. No matter what gets in the way, tiredness, laziness, Netflix. Come and anticipate God. Come looking forward to meeting with God. Come looking forward to hearing what God is going to say. Because there's a word for you. There's something here for you. I know that times when I was, years ago, I was tired. Oh, no, I'm not going to go. No. Had a long week. I'm tired. I'm just want to, you know. And then, if I don't know, just, no, I'll go. So you get up, you drag yourself. It can be like that. Drag yourself up, you go. Oh, dear, and you think, oh, I'm so glad I came. How many times have you done that, honestly? Everyone's done that. You don't want to go. Really, you don't. You want to just sleep in. Go to the cafe. Enjoy the sun or something. But you come to the house of God and you're going, oh, I am so glad I came this morning. That was just so good. God ministered to me. He touched me. He's refreshed me. He's fueled me up. He's filled up my tank. I'm ready to go out and face the world. We are better together. That's come with anticipation. Looking forward to meeting with our God. I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, your presence is real. Your presence is here. My God, Lord, I just pray that Lord, that we'll take that next step, Father. That we'll keep moving. Keep following. Keep wanting more of you, Father God. Coming, Lord, to anticipate you, Father. Lord, to look forward for other areas, Lord, that you want to bless us with, Father. Lord, we want to flourish, Father God. We want to flourish here, Lord. We want to flourish, Lord, on our journey home. We want to flourish, Father, in our workplace. Lord, we want to flourish, Father God, wherever we are, Lord. Father, we want to carry your presence. But Lord, before that, Lord, we need to be longing for it. We need to want that. We need to desire that. Like a baby crying out for food, for its mummy's milk. Mom, mom, mom. Crying, desperate. Father, I pray within us, Lord, that there will be that spiritual desperation, Father God. Let's stand up. There'll be that spiritual desperation, Lord. Lord, we won't let things get in our way, Father. But we want to come, Lord, and be a part, Father God, of what you are doing, Father God, in this city, Father, and in this nation, Lord. And Lord, and even, Lord, in our own personal lives, Father God, because you want our personal lives to flourish, Father God. You want our personal lives, Lord, to exceed our own expectations, Father God, because you are a big God and you are a good God. Father God, let's lift up our hands right now. Oh God.